Thank you, Lord. It's healing class. Open with prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your power and presence in this room. Holy Spirit, let's say have your way. Thank you, Lord, for tangible manifestations of healing made sure in this room this morning, in this place. Thank you, Lord, because all the glory redounds to you and your holy name. We magnify you, Lord, as we delve into your word. Help us to get it as it concerns healing, as it concerns walking in divine help. Help us to truly get it, to understand, and give you praise forever. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you even for worries dropped off, burdens lifted. Thank you, Father, for rejoicing. Thank you, Father, for praise on our lips continually for who you are and all that you've done, of which we are recipients of this grace, even the grace of healing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you will this morning, you want to go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of, or your pads, to the book of Mark. Morning, brother. Mark in chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2. We're going to be in this passage for a couple of weeks. I might as well just lay that groundwork now. Essentially from verses 1 through 12. Verse 1 through 12, rather. But it's okay today as we just contemplate, consider, and look at feasibly, possibly just the first verse, as time permits, as we engage in conversation, because for those who have been in any of my classes for any length of time, what is something that I value in my classes?
Interaction.
Hallelujah. I think that's important. So that's not just a one-way conversation or discourse or just, but it's two-way, it's interactive. And I think that's key for learning, for encouragement, for gleaning from one another based on what the Lord has given to us and our walk with Him and where we are with Him in relationship. Okay, so this morning I titled this, Faith in Motion. Faith in Motion. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read Mark in chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Who's being talked about?
Jesus.
All right. Jesus is in the house. Verse 2, immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Not even near the door. And he preached what? The word to them. Verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was what? Carried by
four men.
And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." When Jesus saw their faith. So something immediately to be picked out, which we know, are aware of, and maybe ceased of, have knowledge about or understanding about, is that faith has a characteristic.
Amen.
Faith has a unique characteristic. Faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. Which begs the question, what is faith? This is healing class, and I'm relating with you, conversing with you, as ardent students of God's word. Good students, great students, every one of you.
Excuse me.
Because engagement with God's word, interaction with God's word, in relationship with God is critical to your nature as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God, and is important in the sphere of the relationship which you have with Him, with the divine. So it's your preserve. It's something that we are enjoined by scriptures to engage in, to do. Hallelujah. What is faith?
Faith is confidence in something or someone.
Confidence. Faith is confidence. Thank you. What is faith?
Believing.
Believing what?
Knowing that you are assured of the promises and going after them.
Assured of the promises. I love that word, assurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know that Jesus always says assuredly at the beginning of verses when he is making a good point, like, I promise you, trust me. Assuredly is a good word.
Hallelujah. Assuredly, confidence. All you just described gives points to a word. Yes, thank you.
So
thank you, Leah.
The Amplified says that faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's the Amplified Classic, correct? Anyone else? Thank you, guys. What is faith? Yes, Carol. Believing.
You believe and you receive the promise.
Believing and receiving the promise. Hallelujah. And that calls into mind Abraham, correct? Thank you. And us as believers. Yes, Mary.
I'm going to add on to what Doris said. It's a confident expectation. You're confident that, and you're expecting it.
That's right.
To be. And we have to add to all that that it's God we're confident.
Yeah.
In,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
someone.
What he said.
Right.
That it's not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's true.
Hallelujah. Confident in God.
I think faith carries over as well, because later chapters in Genesis, Abraham, a lot of God says to Isaac, because of the faith of your father, I will bless you as well. So faith carried over into his family, which I thought was interesting.
And that involves and inculcates, involves other aspects as far as the parents to the children, because you'll find they're not just left willy-nilly just to exposure worldwise, but in the world, but then there ought to be a conveyance in there, you know, based on what? God's word. They're taught. You teach them. You pass that on. So because at the end of the day, each individual is responsible for their own what?
Believing.
Thank you, Todd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyone else? I'll take one more. Faith. This is important, friends, especially based on the interaction and relationship with healing and how this comes to be in experience, in your walk, in your body, concerning that which may ail you or challenge that you may be facing in that arena. It's important to have a proper underscore of what faith is.
Believing that leads to decisiveness.
Could you expand? Could you elaborate just a little bit more? Thank you so much. Believing that
leads to a decisiveness.
Yes. Praise God.
The way you know you believe is because you made a decision. Because ordinarily you can't see the belief, it's not physical. But the decision you make says, why do you believe this? Why are you making this decision? It's because he said so.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believing that leads to a decision. So the decision actually drives.
The decision is manifesting.
Yes, it manifests it drives something, which is exactly what we're leading to, segueing into. Holly, you had something.
Trust, even though things are happening, just, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even though you want to go into an anxiety attack, you have to take a step above and say, no, the Lord says, trust in him, and you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's what you're supposed to focus on. And that's not easy when your emotions get all.
Amen. So essentially, nutshell, in there.
Yeah.
Faith doesn't stand in abstraction. Faith does not stand alone. Faith does not stand alone. Faith, friends, is always annexed. It's always tied to something crucial, which we'll see real quickly. Thank you, Holly.
He said it, I believe it, and that's so.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
He said it, that's so.
God said it. I believe it. I express faith in it. I express confidence in it. All the beautiful words we've shared together in this class so far. And that settles it. That talks about the decision. So in your heart, there's a conclusion. With that conclusion, friends, I submit with all humility this morning, comes a conviction.
Yeah.
Whereby you're convinced beyond what? If we use legal parlance now, beyond all reasonable doubt. Friends, I must say, and we're going to read this right now in Scripture, the reasonable doubt also includes what we, in terms of the world, will call facts. Did you hear me say that? Your belief, your conviction in God, and then in what God said, His Word, should be the base for your decision, which basically shows, declares, expresses your conviction. That is the belief that you hold in your heart as a conclusion. And you believe that beyond all reasonable doubt. And I'm saying the doubt also includes facts which the world or situations or circumstances may place before your very face. As far as doctor's reports, as far as test results, and I get a witness in here, test results, those things, yes, including those, and also what you may also feel, tinglings in your body, in your arm, in those joints, in those areas, those arenas, including that. How does your conviction stand in relation to that? Let's look at Scripture, because this is important. Hebrews 11. Someone mentioned that. Popular passage. We can all quote it. But I want us to consider one or two things in there this morning. It says, now faith, reading from the New King James, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, going through the Greek originals, there are some words which this passage immediately throws up, and these words are expressed in the Amplified. I'm going to share that right now. Praise God. It says, now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed.
Amen.
Faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation. How many of you know when you have the title deed? What else is there? It's what is that? It's what? It's yours. That's ownership. It can't be disputed. You can't dispute it. That it's yours. Ownership. Now, faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. Who guaranteed?
God
Himself. based on what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
To you and I, as his children, as believers, as Christians, as followers and disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Divinely guaranteed. And he goes on, and the evidence of things not seen. What is that? The conviction of their reality. I'll take it from the top again. It's important. I'm going to go over this as often as the Holy Spirit just leads this mind. I want us to pay attention and catch this. Now, faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses.
Amen.
Now, that just goes to explain what we just talked about as far as beyond what the report or what the world or what sensory perception is telling us. What bears more credence? What is more real? What is more real to you? You know, friends, thank you, Lord. Here's the sense that I always get and I want to share with us this morning. I said, what is more real to you? How many know, for example, that the presence of God in this room right now, in this building right now, is so tangible, is so real. God's presence is so real, more real than the person sitting right next to you. Getting that understanding that he's in you and he's what? With you. Presence-wise, I know this is an aside, this is like a sidebar, but more real. That's how real God is. So when I say, what is more real to you? Is God more real to you than that condition? Is his word more real and more true? Does it register as truth in your heart? Based on who he is and what he has done, which is what we're going to see and go through this next few teachings here. It takes that God's word, that which is divinely guaranteed, as what? As truth. As fact. And not what is experienced by physical senses. Having said that, that belief and faith in the word and in the finished work has an abiding effect in what you get to experience in your life, in your walk, in your body. In other words, it's not a dead end. Hey.
I was thinking of a saying, the carnal world is subject to the spirit realm. And what you said yesterday is what you have today.
Sorry, say that again. What was the start of that?
The carnal.
You said you got that. No, not the saying, but what's the inspiration for that?
Well, the spirit realm. This is all powerful. It's more powerful than the carnal. So, yeah, you're talking about senses and what we see and feel.
Right.
And yeah. And what we speak is important also. That's part of the spirit realm because our words are spirit. So what we spoke yesterday, has come to pass if we believe and have faith. That's what we have today.
So, if I get this right, Proverbs 18:21, what does that say?
Oh, go ahead. Death and life.
Okay, so am I getting that? Is that the sense in that what you proclaim, what you decree, or what you speak, which is stuff that we're also going to take a look at, is important and is key. And there's something also that I'm going to bring out from that passage because it's, hear me, friends. Thank you so much for that. It's not just speech. And I'll say this again. It's not just speech in abstraction. It's not just I'm just saying anything because it sounds good or it's just because it's just what I want. What are you speaking? We're going to get to that point. Thank you so much. But what forms the body or what forms? What are you saying? What does it tally with? Or what is it expressing directly? We're not just going to say anything as standalone. I believe it was John 6:63. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're what? Spirit, and they're what? And they're life. So that's, it's key. It's crucial. His word. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go on. Thank you so much. Now, friends, these ones from Mark 2, going back, had an assurance and conviction that Jesus would bring healing, could and would bring healing in that situation, which is why they went through every seeming obstacle to be able to get that individual right before him. So I will say this, as we consider faith and look at it even more closely, faith in motion is acting on the belief and expectation of an expected or anticipated end or purpose. Take it again. Faith in motion is acting on the belief and the expectation that of an anticipated end or purpose, an expected or anticipated end on purpose. So, back to Hebrews 11:3-4. How can faith be seen?
Action.
Example?
Getting out of bed, but you don't feel like it.
How many can relate? How many can relate? Action. So your body is telling you different, right?
Yeah.
Your mind's probably telling you different. But you get up. And what? You get up and go. Action. Carol.
Confessing the word.
Confessing the word. And that word confessing or confess is the word that means from the originals to speak the same thing. Again, it bears the point. It's not just I'm just speaking anything. I'm speaking the same thing as who? As God. I'm speaking the same thing. I'm confessing. So if I'm speaking the same thing as God, what am I speaking? From what we've discussed so far. Mary, you had some? Who was that?
Speaking the word.
Speaking the word. What about the word?
Yeah, the assurance of
life.
The realization of the
life.
The confidence of the word.
So Jude.
Isaiah 55:11, it says his word will not return void.
But
it will accomplish that which he said it will do.
Hallelujah.
If we believe that word, confess it and speak it. We agree with God on that subject. For any issue, he brings it to come to pass.
Hallelujah.
The problem is our agreement with what God has said.
Our agreement with his word. Okay? Praise God. Thank you for that. You know, friends, I'm going to take a moment now. Thank you. Just based on what was said now, I'm going to quickly tie it in to something that I want to expose. Okay? And I've been making this point. I've made it about a couple of times now. And I'm making the same point. I want to put it in a different nuance as it concerns God's word. Okay? Isaiah 55. Now, who, and it bears the point, the word or words, again, I want to share this, is not just an abstraction. It's not just any words, okay? It tallies. It relates to something. So, who is the living word?
Jesus.
How do we know that? John 1, for example. John 1, 14, right? But from verse 1 to 3 and then 14, you have to take it all together. And it's important. I'll lay that quick basis now. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Next verse says, He was with God in the beginning. Or the same was with God in the beginning, depending on what version you have. It says, through Him all things were made. It says, without Him. So we see the Word take on what? Personality. take on life, even in the description, before we get to verse 14. It says, he was with God in the beginning. It says, through him all things were made. It says, without him was nothing made that was made. It says, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light did something. It says, it shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not overpower it. The darkness could not overshadow it. Amen. Could not overcome. This self same word, which has the personality of he, even from the beginning, verse 14 reveals, and the word did what? Became what? Flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of what? The only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. As the word.
Amen.
As the living word.
Amen.
He came. Oh, man. We're going to run that thread through these next classes. He came, and in his earthly walk, in his ministry, he brought what? To all who came to him, because not one was sent away saying, oh, you will not be healed. Everyone who came to him with a malady, everyone who came to him with a sickness or infirmity did not leave the same way they came. So in the earthly walk, he fulfilled divine mandate by bringing healing, freedom, deliverance to the captives. And all of this culminated on what he did on the cross, based on the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was anything that he said on that cross that bears repeating and redounding through all the ages, three words, it is what?
Finished.
What was finished?
The work
the Father sent him to do? The payment. What was finished?
The law.
And to the law, yeah?
Yeah. The sufferings, sicknesses, and diseases.
Infirmities, and all of that. Friends, why? Because he bore it all.
Oh, Jesus.
And said, it is finished. And guess what? On the third day, death could not hold him captive. He rose from the dead and ascended into glory. Guess what, friends? The word came into the world and accomplished the purpose for which he was sent and ascended into glory. Now, everything you speak, everything you say within this confines or the arena of healing as it relates to your body and your relationship with the Father must spring from that revelation, from that insight, from that understanding that it is accomplished. That it is done.
That's good.
This is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. So it's not just, I'm just saying words and I just want to get healed. But there must be, it must go with understanding in your heart that the word came and accomplished. So your words, which you now speak, because it is from the heart of understanding, realization, recognition, and appreciation of truth, of the finished work. Man, there's power that emanates, that springs from that.
Yeah.
You're not just saying words.
Right.
High-sounding words, trying to couch it, make it, you know, and whatnot. No. So that when you give a command, you know exactly where you stand. So that when you speak and adjure and strictly charge, you know the authority.
Amen. It's a righteous indignation.
Yeah.
You know it belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to you.
It's mine.
It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to chart a course.
Right.
He already charted that course and accomplished it and handed it to you and gave it to you.
Yes. Yes.
So that healing and health is yours.
Yes. Yes.
Healing and health is yours.
Yes.
It's yours already. It's yours already.
Yes.
It's yours. Freely you have received. Of his fullness, you have received. This is mindset, friends. This is mindset. Thank you so much for that. Because guess what? All the words under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, that was spoken and concerning the seed and concerning the promise and all of that did what? All of those pointed to one individual and personality in time, all of that was with reference to Jesus Christ. take any prophetic, Isaiah 9:6 or whatever it is, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. Whatever the scripture is, all Old Testament promises, all of those, they find their fulfillment in who?
Jesus.
In Christ. I believe 2 Corinthians 1:20. Yes. Permit me, friends, this is, you know, it's important because it's a class and the foundation is important. The foundation is key for some of the things we're going to start looking at, contemplating, and assuring our hearts of as it concerns faith. Remember I said faith doesn't just stand by itself. It doesn't just stand in its right. It's not just, oh, faith. Okay, so what is it? Mm-hmm. It's tied to, it's hinged on something that cannot be shaken, a foundation that cannot be shaken. Taking God at his word.
Yes.
The reason why no promise falls to the side is because Jesus came and accomplished. If he didn't die or he didn't resurrect, we'll be talking a different story, friends. And we'll be getting to the nitty-gritty of what he carried. Any questions so far or comments before I... Libby.
I love that statement you made. It's too late. It's too late not to believe you have all these things.
Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, here's truth. Encourage yourselves this way by way of exposure. Expose yourself to truth.
Yeah.
The world doesn't have it this way. The body of Christ in totality doesn't have it this way. So embrace it. Expose yourself. By that I mean listen to it, hear it over and over and over again. Get the word. Delve in over and over and over again. Assure your hearts of these present truth. By his stripes, you were healed. What does that mean? And dig in deep. You had something?
Yes, I was thinking as you were speaking, it came to me, expose yourself to the truth. And allow truth to speak.
Amen.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Allow it to speak.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mary, thank you so much. Allow truth. Friends, what you give yourself to is what's going to come out.
Abundance of the heart. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mary.
You were talking about like symptoms, tingling, mm-hmm. pain, whatever. Well, there are words that are clearly coming out through the airwaves. There's going to be a second wave. That's going to be. So what do we do? Isaiah 54:17.
Mm-hmm.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
rises up against you in judgment, you shall
condemn.
That's why we speak again, and it's like no.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so let's tie it up with those two points as it concerns speaking and what Gail raised earlier as far as actions. Back to Hebrews 11. We're at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 3. It says, by faith we understand.
Yes.
Someone say understand.
Understand.
That the worlds were framed, what? By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are what? Visible. By faith, friends, understanding comes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How? Carol? By the word or through the word of God.
Yes.
By faith. Understanding comes, even as it relates to your healing, even as it relates to walking in divine health. Understanding comes. How? Through, by the word of God. It's by the word. It's by the word. Is your faith going to be built up? Are you going to be encouraged in faith? It is what? Going to be, has to be by the word. Faith based on understanding is evident by what? Words spoken. Did we see that in Hebrews 11 as well?
Mm-hmm.
The worlds were framed by the word of God. So, spoken. The word spoken. So, the spoken word takes up huge significance.
Mm-hmm.
Critical. What are you speaking? So, faith can be seen by what? The words spoken. Can your faith be seen by the words that you speak? Are you proclaiming truth to yourself, speaking truth over your body, over your kids, over your family, whatever it is? They that love the fruit of it.
That's right.
They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
That fruit is not just any fruit either.
You better know it.
It still touches on, points to, relates to, hammers on the word of God. Mm-hmm. Are you rehashing or restating what you're feeling, what the report says? Do you take every opportunity to share, oh, I have this, I have this, I have this, I have got this, I've got this, or my this, my that, my... Are you rehearsing it over and over? Is that what takes up your contemplation, your meditation, your thinking? Can it be worrisome? Yes. But does that form the basis or the base of your conviction or belief? No, it shouldn't. You know, sometimes they send you the test results, and then some of those numbers are in red, and they put a report, they put a thing in there, they put an emphasis there, and they put a note in there. Oh, you got to come in quickly, or get yourself to the ER right away, or whatever it is. What are you speaking? Don't rehash that stuff. Mm-mm. Don't repeat that stuff over and over and over and over again in speaking it. Yeah.
When nurses came into my hospital room when I was in ICU, and they said, "Oh, she's not gonna make it," they would kick them out. They went to the head nurse, and they'd kick
every
nurse that said something bad over me or that didn't believe what they believed. They just kick them out of the room.
Friends, that's important. What you hear is key. What you allow into your heart is important. Proverbs 4 talks about guarding your heart, right? And that's important because guess what? The world truly doesn't, most times it's not going to be encouraging stuff.
Right.
Definitely not like God's word. Faith-filled? No.
You can hear the doctor report, but you don't have to agree with it, even in front of them.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, it's shocking and how they will come and tell you stuff like, you know, why would that comment be made? Oh, she's not going to, why would they say that to your hearing? You had something?
Yeah. In the scripture that Pastor Sharon just referenced in Proverbs 4, you know, guarding our hearts, you know, what I see there is a deliberate action. Mm-hmm. You know, because we live in this body, we all know these scriptures. In fact, we all want to speak it always. But often we get caught up in either the doctor's report or the pain, you know. It becomes important that you put in place for you something that you can use deliberately to constantly remind you of the word. If it is with your spouse, with members of your family, with a friend, you know, you talk with always, who will always remind you. No, we can look at that. This is where we are. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Encourage one another daily while it is called today. Mm-hmm. It's there for this reason. So we can constantly remind ourselves. Because of our body, we are always giving over to what is happening. Just make a deliberate attempt to put something in place to help you.
Friends, because it's a tendency. Because of where we live and the world in which we live and all the information and, you know, technology and science, and they have all the rubrics. They give you the names. You're like, what was that? You don't even know what it is, but they say, oh, but you have it. And it's going to kill you. And it's going to kill you. It's going to knock you out. You know, and what the former said right now is real key as far as what you have locked up or hidden in your heart. Now, let me say this as we start rounding off for today. Let me say this. If I were to go through this room and say, okay, give me healing scriptures. What are the scriptures in the Bible that, you know, talk about healing? And there's some that we know that specifically hit on the subject of healing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Isaiah 53:4-5.
Isaiah 53:4-5. Amen. What else?
Isaiah 40:31.
40:31. First Peter 2:24. So here's what I want to leave us with. As far as what's hidden in your heart, what do you have there, friends? Based on conviction, There are scriptures also that may not in the first instance relate to healing directly, but you can stand and proclaim such because you have an understanding of the truth, the concept which I just said concerning Jesus and the work, the finished work. So it's about the whole word. So it's not about, oh, unless it has the word healing or health in there, then I can't take. No, no, no. But have the word in your heart so that when that situation or circumstance comes up, you don't have to press a button or whatnot. The word does what emanates. The word comes out freely because that's your contemplation. You've made his word your meditation all the day long. That's where your heart is. A surrendered heart in the place of relationship. Yeah. Then you it comes out, for instance, like sweat coming out of your pores.
Yes.
You can't help it. Can you control that, sir? If you were to jug around the building five times now, no, but it just comes out. The situation warrants it. It comes out.
Sometimes we kind of contribute to our own kind of downfall because we get a pain and say, oh, I've got this pain. And, oh, man, there's a lump. I've got cancer. You know? Then it turns out to be a pimple.
Right. Right. You know, it's funny that you should say that, friends. Let me share John 14:30. We'll close out. We'll continue. This was just the basis foundation. We'll continue more on this subject next week. John 14:30, Jesus speaking. I'll close with this. It was a portion of this word that came to my heart when I was told that I had a heart attack, and I'll share more on this. I'll flesh it out another time. When I told I was having a heart attack and was at the hospital and they were ready to, the nurses came in scrambling, saying, oh, we're going to have to cut you up, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they were telling me things that they were going to have to do. This was the word, and I will share, I'm being honest, friends, I can't tell you that right there on that bed looking up and being, you know, stripped and whatever it is they were doing that day, I will not tell you that. I could tell you it was John 14:30 as far as the numbers. I'm your pastor and I'm telling you this. So hear me clearly. But the word itself was about, well, I said, they can do all the tests and everything they can do, but they're not going to find anything in me because the evil one has nothing in me. That was the word. That's what I heard. That was the word. It was clear. I had him redounding in my heart because, friends, it was a frenzy. And it's like, oh, this is not about you. We're doing what we got to do. But that was the word, and I turned to my side and shared that with my wife, with Bookie, before anything else happened. I said, honey, don't worry, they're not going to find anything. John 14:30. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has what? Nothing in me. Our version says, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he does not have anything in me. Here it is from the Amplified, and we'll close. I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of the world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me, no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me. No cancer, no arthritis, no migraine, no arthritis, no high blood pressure, no pre-diabetes, no diabetes, no injury, no. What else is there? What else is there? What are those names? Nothing. That stuff has no hold over you, has no abiding place in your body, which is his temple. Friends, based on who you are, in whom you believe, and where you dwell, that stuff dies the death in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Let's rise, friends. Can I get a prayer team member here?
Whoa.
Friends. If you want to join up in faith, I'm going to also stand here. I have a prayer team member here. Please take advantage of this opportunity. You want agreement, prayer of agreement concerning a matter, whether a health concern, a health issue, something, a challenge. I love for you to just step forward at this time boldly. Don't be shy and don't express fear or doubt in any way, shape, or form. The Holy Ghost is here. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for truth revealed in Jesus, made clear. Thank you, Father, for understanding in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for recognition of that which you fully accomplished, which you gave to us, which we have fully received. Thank you, Father, for insight as to how to walk in the fullness of that which is ours already in you. Magnify your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for the healings represented in this room this morning.
Right now.
Thank you, Father, for bodies made whole, tangibly in experience. I give you praise, Lord, for freedom in those arenas. Magnify your holy name in Jesus' name. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, friends, we're dismissed. We'll be back in time for service at 10:45. Thank you so much for your hearts, and I'll see you soon.